March is National Nutrition Month, and Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
No, I'm not close to it. First of all, it's not up to me. This is done by the leadership. Mm-hmm. I don't know that would do anything except exacerbate the situation even more. I'm looking to get rid of anti-Semitism, not looking to punish anybody. I think that it's very important that we keep our eye on the prize. And I think that whenever there is hatred being spewed, or again, racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, Islamophobia, I think we have to speak out, and that's what I'm doing here.
So that is some of the discussion as to the this resolution that actually may never apparently be heard. It may never actually happen because Steiny Hoyer is now involved in it. Welcome to the program. I'm Dana Lash at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. The latest on this is that, and what you just heard the House Foreign Affairs chair, they say, oh, we can't really remove her from the committee because it may actually exacerbate the situation. What in the hell kind of reasoning is that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So she's a notorious anti-Semite who's gone on repeated anti-Semitic Twitter rages, tweet storms.
4 years.
4 years. Yeah, I think that's a good distinction. 4 years she's done this. And they say that they can't remove her because it would exacerbate the situation. Between whom? They can't remove her because why? Audio soundbite 6, Steve Scalise says that, look, Pelosi is the one that has to do this. Listen.
Well, the resolution only addresses a piece of the problem. She continues to display anti-Semitic remarks, comments. These are her beliefs. And so if they really are serious about addressing the problem, Nancy Pelosi has to remove her from the Foreign Affairs Committee. She's literally getting intelligence briefings on foreign policy of the United States, including our relationship with Israel, as she makes these kind of comments where she thinks any support of Israel is denouncing your own nationality. Where does that come from? It's a deep-rooted belief that shows the core of her convictions. And again, everybody's entitled to their own beliefs, but why would you have her on a committee that important, that sensitive to our foreign policy, if she has those kind of anti-Semitic beliefs?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Why would you? Because it's not just a difference of opinion. I mean, this is a person who has gone on these very belligerent, she said some really, really horrible stuff, and there's no excuse for it. And so there's this now, the Democrat resolution maybe that they're not going to. What the hell is the point of having a resolution on this, on her anti-Semitic remarks, if you're not even going to name her? And that's just the thing. They don't even name her in this. And now they're hesitating on even doing it in the first place. So they don't have her named. And additionally, they were going to say that, well, you know, you can't say anti-Semitic stuff. But now you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the socialists involved in the party, and they're blasting Nancy Pelosi and others for even dreaming of doing this. How dare you? How dare you even consider this? Steiny Hoyer said no date. He told New York Times no date was set for a vote on a resolution condemning anti-Semitism and other forms of hate. And then he says he was asked directly about Ilhan Omar, and he says, quote, I don't think she's anti-Semitic. So they agree with it. So in addition to lawmakers not wanting to defend life after it survives an abortion and give kids treatment, now they can't even bring themselves to condemn anti-Semitism or hate. Democrats can't even defend them. They can't even bring themselves to defending people, Jewish people, defending just straight up decency and decorum. This, folks, it's not like she said like a couple of things. It's not like she even said anything that was, you know, misrepresented. How in the hell are you on a foreign policy committee? The committee on foreign affairs, how are you on that committee when you say these things? Now, do you remember, by the way, how many times the left blasted Trump because they said that he was flirting with the alt-right? I don't think that I don't even think he knew what the hell it was. I don't think he did. And I don't think he did. And I don't know. Do I think like Steve Bannon and people like them are alt-right? Oh, hell yes, absolutely. I think that's what Steve Bannon was trying to do with the Breitbart website before he finally was canned. Absolutely. But I don't think that Trump knew what the hell was going on. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, because it ended up being this like rhetorical war. And he condemned all of the gruesome and any kind of bigoted behavior. He did all that. And I'll have you know, the alt-right went after me as well and a bunch of other people that I know. So I don't, and Democrats were all over him on that. But the problem is that now these same people, they want to entertain the bigoted, really anti-Semitic and flat-out racist fringe within their party. They're not really fringe if they hold seats. Let me rephrase that. They want to entertain and welcome and tolerate the racist, bigoted, anti-Semitic repeated remarks from the elected members of their party because they want to form this moderate socialist partnership. Nancy Pelosi's in trouble. I don't think you guys know that. She is in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. So, in addition to these things here, you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, as she's attacking Nancy Pelosi, she blasted Nancy Pelosi, saying, going after her, saying, you know, you can't condemn. You cannot condemn Ilhan Omar. You can't do any of these things, et cetera, et cetera. So now she's in trouble because it looks as though they were pushing back and forth just under $1 million between a PAC that is barred by law from having any affiliation with her campaign and a PAC that apparently she funneled money through to pay her boyfriend. I mean, that's how it's being reported. She was asked about that audio soundbite 3. The campaign finance complaint against her. This is a serious complaint. This isn't something that you can be simply fined over. This is something that if guilty, she could serve time in jail. Listen to this.
Do you have any comment on the FEC violation filed against your office?
There is no violation, so there's no violation.
Do you think that's a sign of you taking dark money?
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, it's never, they're never guilty of taking dark money when they actually are. That's the very definition of it. So she's running away from it now because she got caught. This is how these tyrants are. When you promote tyranny, tyrants promote tyranny. Socialism is a form of tyranny. And they want to ban everyone else from doing the things that they themselves completely take advantage of. She didn't want to talk about the allegations. She doesn't think that there's a violation, even though even former FEC chiefs are saying, yeah, there was. Doesn't want to answer the question, runs away, doesn't want to answer questions. It seems pretty early in her career to be running away from just straight up questions by reporters. She just wants to completely ignore. This is someone who is accused, and there's credible, you want to talk about credible evidence. There's not credible accusation, credible evidence that shows that they were funneling money back and forth just under $1 million between this PAC and her campaign illegally. These are laws that she wants in place because she says that Republicans do this all the time. How dare they? She wants these laws in place. And yet here she is engaging in the same activity that is banned by the laws she supports and that she has spoken about while on the campaign trail. And this woman wants us to pay the government almost $94 trillion in new taxes to cover her quote-unquote Green New Deal that bans the combustible engine and eliminates, quote, farting cows, end quote. Do you trust her? I wouldn't trust her with a damn dollar, much less $93, $94 trillion. Good heavens. And Tom Anderson, who filed this complaint, he's with the National Legal and Policy Center. He's not playing. He's serious. This isn't something for which you can be fined. She could face jail time out of this. Because this isn't it's a big issue. Now, she got herself in trouble again. You know why she comes up so often? It's not because anyone's scared of her. First off, I don't think anyone on the right, particularly myself, is scared of anyone. I've proven more than any of my haters that I'm willing to go the extra distance to engage in discussion. People are too afraid of my destroying them in a debate to even have a conversation with me. So that's been proven time and time again. And I'm very Dagny Taggart about this. And I'm not going to minimize my accomplishments to make someone else feel better in their mediocrity. I refuse. To that effect, the reason she comes up so often in the press is because she says and does stupid stuff. The reason so many people talk about her is because she makes it too easy. People mocked Sarah Palin. And they attributed a line that Tina Fey said on Saturday Night Live to Sarah Palin. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is like the dime, is like the dollar store. She would be to the left, the dollar store Palin. I mean, at least Palin was governor, right? Everyone mocked Palin. She was governor. She at least knew what she was talking about. Ocasio-Cortez doesn't even know how taxes work. So now she gets roasted. Daily Wire captured this. And I saw this. She was blasting, and it's from a couple of tweets, etc. She was asking for all in a defense of Representative Ilhan Omar. She was saying, "Well, where's the outrage of someone like she said Jerry Falwell Jr. saying that we just need to go and shoot all these Muslims?" And she had a like 6 second. How long is this video clip? Let me look at this. I'm not playing it, but I want to just tell you the time. Oh, it's like 40 seconds. It's like 40 seconds of a speech that he gave at Liberty University. And it said Jerry Falwell Jr. threatened to shoot and kill Muslims. If more good people had concealed carry permits, we could end those Muslims. And she presented that as like him. That's a racist comment that justifies Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitism. I am not a fan of the way that Jerry Falwell Jr. does some stuff. I'll be straight up honest with you, and I've been critical of him in the past. But this is stupid because he was specifically talking about when they started the video, they cut him in mid-sentence. The left is famous for this, while at the same time bitching about deceptively edited videos that show Planned Parenthood was, in fact, selling body parts. And by the way, the Center for Medical Progress was completely exonerated by a judge who agreed with them that there was no deceptiveness in their editing. But this particular video clip, he was talking about the San Bernardino terror attack in 2015. And he was saying that if more people had concealed carry permits, they could have taken these individuals out. If California wasn't so restrictive, that's what he was talking about. She omits that entirely and presents it as though it just happened and runs with it. Can you imagine this person with more power? Oh, I have so much more. We haven't even scraped the surface of what we need to get into today. Coming up, we'll have some media bias that you're going to want to know about, as well as the cow fart regulation is upon us. I'm not making that up. In the meantime, the Purple Heart Foundation is an organization staffed of volunteer veterans, so they're not drawing a salary. They just understand the importance of making sure that veterans returning home from conflict, that they have what is they have the benefits coming that are owed to them, and they're able to get the care that they need. And the only reason that the Purple Heart Foundation can persist in these efforts is because of private donations. They're not a federally funded entity. They receive private donations from people like you. And when you write a check, when you donate cash, that money goes towards providing educational scholarships, funding PTSD research, the Canines for Combat Vets, getting homeless veterans off the streets. That's what it pays for. It pays to fly these volunteer veterans out to a returning veteran's home to go through the paperwork that the VA requires that they go through. It's like, not, I'm not even kidding you, it's almost a foot tall, the stack, just so that they can get the benefits thereof. This is what your money pays for. And I think it's just the least that we can do for these people who sacrifice so much for us. Visit purpleheartfoundation.org/donate and make your contribution today. That's purpleheartfoundation.org/donate. Tell them Dana sent you. March is National Nutrition Month, and Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats. Beats.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
I watched a great interview, by the way, with David Bowie the other night. It was really good. Oh my gosh, I have so much for you today. Oh, what was the other thing that I wanted to hit with you on? So many things. Not just with this AOC stuff, but with, oh my gosh, there's so, we haven't even gotten through everything yet. The other thing that the not just the cow fart regulation stuff that's coming up, but the bias and the fight going on right now between the Democrat Party, there is a lot of warning signs that this Democrat Party is going to flip to socialist in the next cycle. Oh my gosh. And then they vow to come after Texas. We're going to get on all that. Let's get you set up with some headlines.
And now all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, this isn't good. U.S. credit card debt it's closed in 2018 at a record $870 billion. They said credit card balances rose by $26 billion from the prior quarter, and that the increase is consistent with seasonal patterns, but they said what's different is that this marks the first time that credit card balances retouched the 2008 nominal peak. So get a handle on y'all spending. That's what it is. Czechoslovakian man was mauled to death by a lion that he kept in the backyard. And to, yeah, I feel like Norm here saying, you know, it's because it's a lion. He was mauled to death because his pet was a lion.
Oh, man, I swam with sharks and I got bit. What's the deal?
I mean, seriously. The teacher, remember me telling you about the teacher that got fired for playing Fortnite with his kids as a reward for them getting their work done and doing great in the classroom? He is fighting back and suing to get his job back, which he should. Brett Belsky sounds like a great teacher. It's a Manhattan lawsuit against the Department of Education, and he was being a good educator, and he should be rewarded, not punished for that. And the Washington Post says there's an extensive effort to bury Trump's grades. But did we ever get Obama's college records? Stay with us. The Democrat Party in peril next.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
Follow along on Twitter at DLash.
And official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And that's why Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for all her callowness and arguable shallowness, is able to become so prominent. She makes news, and she's kind of compelling. She's kind of adorable, sort of in the way that a 5-year-old right. child can be adorable.
Britt Hume. I like Britt. Can I just say I've known Britt for a number of years. Very nice guy, gentleman. And I met his wife once at one, I think it was in a green room at one point, super sweet people. And he is so funny to sit next to. When we would do caucus night or primary night coverage or election night coverage, he is, you know how some dudes are catty in like a funny way, he's one of them. He's like a girl's guy. He's like the guy who, you know, he can join, you know, his wife at the ladies' table and then just jump right into the gossip with everybody else. He's really good at that, but he's so funny. And him saying this, it's not wrong. Nothing's wrong, but all the third wave feminist surrogates got so mad and they said he's treating her like an infant. I can't even talk today. Treating her like an infant and he's diminishing her because she's a woman by using these descriptors. Oh my gosh, shut up. No one does a better job at diminishing their influence than anytime she opens her own mouth and speaks silly things with her own voice using her own words. Good night, people. I think it's funny, though. They're all mad at him. They are all mad at him. They're so mad at him. And he's just, he doesn't care. Do you think Britt Hume cares? Britt Hume doesn't care. Britt Hume just, they don't make a strong enough eye roll emoji on iOS for Britt Hume. Like, that's his spirit animal, the eye roll emoji. So, this is what, when Washington Post, by the way, first started looking into her campaign finance, whatever, Ocasio-Cortez, they could not resist. They hated the fact that they had to write about it. So the Washington Examiner writes, AOC's chief of staff ran $1 million slush fund by diverting campaign cash to his own companies. Okay, so Washington Post picks it up and they say the arrangement, first reported by conservative outlets, well, actually, it was the Washington Examiner scoop. But that's stupid. Why? And by the way, why was it then only conservative outlets? I mean, aren't you journalists? Isn't this sort of your thing? You bitch and moan about conservative writers doing journalism. You unwashed masses, you dirty proletariat. You can't do what we do. We are special. We are above criticism. We are unassailable. By the way, we got this from some conservative outlets that were doing the job we weren't. We're too busy right now trying to save money to fight this, to fight the Covington lawsuit. Why does it even have to be that way? So she, they're mad at Britt Hume. They're mad. She does this kind of stuff, and then she thinks that she's supposed to be above question on it, above any kind of question. And they said, oh, well, Britt Hume was being sexist. No, he wasn't. He was being ridiculous. No, he wasn't. But do you know what is ridiculous? She said something else stupid. Again, this isn't fear. It is, I mean, if we were afraid, why would we be giving it so much attention? Do you see, this one person literally just filled a half hour of radio content for me, and it's entertaining. So she made people mad because she said, when was this, last night? No, she tweeted this Monday evening. She said the U.S. shouldn't have been in Afghanistan after 9/11, called the invasion in the wake of terror attacks a mistake as she was defending Ilhan Omar. Okay, what? That's what she was saying. That it was bad to, she says, everyone was wrong. Barbara Lee was the only one who wasn't. And she made it sound like we're just so mean to people over in Afghanistan. Well, I think that we had other administrations afterwards that messed up the whole, I mean, when they lost sight of the objective, that's definitely worth criticism, but I would disagree with her on that regard. But she made people mad for the way she said it. Now, in the meantime, the Democrat Party is, Nancy Pelosi's in trouble. She is in serious trouble right now. So the House Democrats are postponing, maybe not having it at all, rebuking Ilhan Omar, because they're getting pressure from the left. They're getting pressure from their actual socialist base. Ocasio-Cortez and others, say Politico, stepped up their defense of Ilhan Omar. House Dems postpone vote, rebuking Omar amid pressure from the left. Jiminy Christmas. The Congressional Black Caucus, the Congressional Progressive Caucus, which gave rise to the socialists, they said they are the ones saying, no, we're not doing it. Steny Hoyer says, well, we're discussing it. What is there to discuss? So, I mean, Ilhan Omar is literally saying that Jewish Americans, people who are Jewish and people who are Americans, they have a dual loyalty, meaning they're always suspicious. Because if you voice any sort of support for Israel, oh, there's that dual loyalty smear. It's an anti-Semitic garbage. And you actually, you have to think about it? You have to talk about it? Talk about what? How many syllables are in the slur? The hell is there to talk about? It's either bad or it's not. Come on, socialist brain trust, make a decision here. But this is what they're doing. And Nancy Pelosi can't control them anymore. They were fighting, guys, they were fighting so bad last night on Twitter that a number of lawmakers, who's the chick? Oh gosh, what is her name? Starts with a J. I can't remember. She was saying, stop tweeting. She was telling lawmakers to stop tweeting, her other fellow lawmakers to stop tweeting. They were all just at each other's throats over it. It was so bad. I'm going to find it. I have it here. They were fighting constantly. They can't even bring themselves to say anti-Semitism is bad. These people who freak out over every single that Donald Trump utters, they can't even bring themselves to say, yeah, maybe you shouldn't get a pass for being an anti-Semite and talking about how to Jews are always bad. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should come out and maybe condemn that. Seems like you should condemn it. They can't even do it. Hakeem Jeffries said, no, that's Steny Hoyer. Ted Lieu, he runs away saying, oh, I don't know what to do. I mean, they can't make it up. And Nancy Pelosi has no control. Audio soundbite 6. Well, we talked about this. We already played this. This is in Steve Scalise was saying, look, she doesn't even control her own party anymore. Washington Examiner has a great piece saying it's already Speaker Ocasio-Cortez. Now, listen to this. This is how serious it is. Do you know? So take, for instance, when they were trying to get through that universal background check, which, again, that is fancy language for we're going to criminalize private transfers between law-abiding people. Criminals are already walking around with guns. They get them on the black market. They've done several studies in the past 4 years on this. I have 3 saved as a PDF as shortcuts in my web browser, and I'm literally looking at the links right now. They have done 3 separate studies on this. 1 by a media outlet, 2 by independent think tanks. Well, 1 was a policy think tank. And what they determined was that the majority, like you're talking near 90%, come from the black market. Others are stolen, etc. They're not coming from private transfers between law-abiding people, meaning if you're at the range and my husband wants to let me use his firearm at the range, oh no, we can't do that. That could be a damn felony. And we're prohibited possessors and we lose our permits. Not kidding. That's not an exaggeration. Literally, that's how the bill is written. So they were fighting to not have ICE notified if an illegal alien, that's the legal terminology, tries to purchase or purchases a firearm. And by the way, the FBI classifies that as its top category of prohibited possessors. Those are the people that outrank everybody in terms of trying to illegally acquire a firearm or lying on a 4473. They have all of this stuff. And in 2018, there were like 12,000 cases of people trying to defraud a 4473, and only 12 were prosecuted. It was like 12,093. Only 12 cases were prosecuted. So that, keeping that in mind, the socialists like Ocasio-Cortez and others were fighting to make sure that ICE wouldn't be notified in the bill if someone here illegally tried to purchase a firearm, right? Like the MS-13 people who kill people up in Long Island, were terrorizing families down in Houston. Like those, you know, people who are entering illegally and they're part of gang warfare. And they fought it and fought it. And Nancy Pelosi is being blamed because Republicans were able to get that in. Republicans in the House were able to get it in. It's not going to go anywhere in the Senate because it's a stupid, horrible bill. And Ocasio-Cortez lost her mind. She went on, how dare you, etc., blasted Nancy Pelosi. So Washington Examiner has this piece. It's already Speaker Ocasio-Cortez. This is a great, now listen to this. Nancy Pelosi last week floated the idea of dramatically changing the way the House works. Having lost two recent votes, known as motions to commit, motions to recommit, minor votes. By the way, she'd never lost those in the past because I looked it up. Stinging for any House leader, she basically wants to prevent the House minority from its traditional right to force votes to change legislation before it passes. Now, it's a terrible, cynical idea. It's been in place for, had it been in place for the last 25 years, it would have silenced House Democrats the entire time. But the reason that she did it isn't because of Republicans or anything like that. She did it because of the Democrats, the socialists within her own party. She has nearly lost a battle in her own party to a politically artless but media savvy House freshman after less than 2 months. The rules of the U.S. House, unlike those of the Senate, give the minority party few rights. It cannot stop or even meaningfully delay legislation. They can always force a couple of protest votes at the end of the process that put the majority on the spot. And on those rare occasions where these motions to recommit succeed, they send bills back to committee for specific changes. She lost those two times because of the socialists like Cortez in the party. She lost two such votes on gun rights because dozens of Democrats defected, and she's considering abolishing every one of the few rights that the House minority has. She is in a weakened position. Democrats' numerical majority in Congress is solid, but from Southern California to Maine, Iowa to Texas, downstate Virginia to upstate New York, their takeover depended on wins in competitive Republican-leaning districts in rural and suburban areas. And you have a bunch of vulnerable freshman Democrats entering this year. Some of them need to. One of the reasons, by the way, that she's doing this isn't because Nancy Pelosi is a moderate. Nancy Pelosi is a socialist. She's an older Ocasio-Cortez. She wants to retain power. And what this article gets into is how she's trying to keep those moderate Democrats that got elected in these purpley areas that they may not get reelected in because the economy is going in favor of the Trump administration. We have better jobs, record low unemployment across the board, particularly for Hispanics. So Nancy Pelosi is trying to save power. Ocasio-Cortez doesn't understand strategy, and she's trying to blow everything right now, like swing all she's got and won in the first swing. And so Pelosi's trying to fight her own strategy, and Pelosi's losing because, as Examiner says, Cortez is now setting the Democrat agenda in both houses of Congress. Witness how, with the aid of a friendly media that seems to enjoy her ignorant tongue lashings as much as it bristles at President Trump's, Ocasio-Cortez lured six Democrat senators running for president into a trap that could well cost the party their White House. They committed to her insane, embarrassingly half-baked Green New Deal proposal and will soon be forced to vote for a resolution supporting it. In the House, it's just as bad. On Wednesday, Cortez was giving orders to House Democrats behind closed doors about how they're to vote, lest they face a primary challenge next year, backed by her wealthy chief of staff and his super PAC. This all should convey some idea of why Ocasio-Cortez has become Republicans' favorite Democrat to talk about. She's wreaking havoc on her party's cohesion, destroying its palatability for voters. Cynical Republicans would like to make sure her voice is heard, but in fact, her radical politics will harm the country and have proven ruinous for people living in her own district, including her mother, who moved to Florida, by the way, because she says she couldn't stand the high taxes. Pelosi could rein in Cortez, but she's unwilling. Washington Examiner posits it's because she's scared by her popularity on the left. And so Pelosi's only other option is to protect her vulnerable members from having to take difficult votes, like the ones Republicans can currently force with motions to recommit. After all, you can't lose if you don't let the other side play. Pelosi's being usurped. That is what's happening here. That is exactly what is happening here. They are in an all-out war. And I have more on this. Linda Sarsour, also, she backed Ocasio-Cortez, attacked Pelosi. And now you have some of the other. This is getting crazy. Thomas Sowell warns that the USA may not resist the siren song of socialism. We're going to talk about that coming up. Also, cow fart regulation is up on us. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding, but I'm being totally serious. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get to how today, new headlines, border at a breaking point, more than 76,000 migrants cross in 1 month, or illegal immigrants. I have the latest numbers from the Texas Tribune on that, and Kirstjen Nielsen's testimony today with DHS in front of a House committee. We've got that and so much more. Outdoor Limited is a place where you can go and get very affordable ammo, discount ammo, and supplies. It should be your first choice when looking at ammo and buying some. I always go there to stock up my Liberty Stash. Right now, check out their CCI Rapid Rimfire rebate. For every 5 boxes of CCI Rimfire ammo you get, they reimburse you the cost of 1 box up to $200 via mail-in rebate. They have the biggest, widest selection of ammunition. Everything is listed as in stock, is in their warehouse and ready to ship. No back orders. So check out OutdoorLimited.com, featuring great brands from Federal Ammunition like Federal Premium, Fusion, and American Eagle. Visit them today. Get $5 off your first purchase of $100 or more using code Dana. OutdoorLimited.com, promo code Dana.
Spanning coast to coast and all over Flyover Nation.
The Dana Show.
I'm amused by some of these lawmakers coming out of New Hampshire. What amuses me also is anti-gun advocates hate it when their hyperbole is met with hyperbole. And they're like, no, we're victims now. These, the anti-gun advocates that work for Bloomberg. So this article from The Hill was burning up trends. Republican members of the New Hampshire House of Representatives are drawing scrutiny for wearing pearl necklaces while gun control activists shared their experiences with gun violence at a recent hearing. And we're talking about Bloomberg folks that are bust in. They were all, even the dudes were wearing pearl necklaces, and they said that it was done so because they say that critics say that the lawmakers were using clutching their pearls imagery because these activists, that's how they are. And the activists are like, it's so shameful that you guys are doing this. You actually call people gun whores and you spend an inordinate amount of time, 99% of their quote unquote activism is belittling families on social media, men and women, and telling them that they're murderers and they have blood on their hands simply because, I don't know, maybe they think it's a good idea to have a firearm that they can rely on if their alarm goes off in the middle of the night, or if someone invades their home and they don't want to see their wife raped. I mean, you know, heaven forbid. But the lawmakers are the ones. Get over yourselves. My gosh. How dare you sit here and calmly refute our hyperbole? Give me R. Kelly.
Hello?
Tell me with this. I can't help 30 years.
Robert.
30 years.
See? Do you guys watch that, by the way? I didn't watch the interview when it happened, but I watched a video of it. Way to sit here and try to convince someone that you're not a predator by standing over a woman who's cool as a cucumber as you're losing your mind. Gail King did a good job on that, by the way. Second hour next, they're going to ban cow farts. Like, literally, it's happening. Stay with it. It's only March, and progressives have done nothing this year but cause chaos. Cuomo, Ocasio-Cortez, Kamala Harris, all promoting infanticide, running businesses out of New York, and so much more. I have a question for you. Are you funding their progressive agenda? Major corporations where you shop every day are using their buying power to steer America towards a socialist economy. If your cell phone plan is with AT&T or Verizon, your money is supporting progressive candidates. The ACLU, Unidos US, and Planned Parenthood. You can support your own values by switching to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile offers the same reliable nationwide coverage you already have, plus they take a portion of their proceeds and support conservative organizations like the Heritage Foundation, the Susan B. Anthony List, and more. Patriot Mobile has unlimited talk and text plans starting as low as $20 a month. It's easy to switch. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT and mention Dana, or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana, and they'll waive up to 2 activation fees. Join me and switch to Patriot Mobile today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana.
I think there are some folks that are trying, but what I think is important to discuss here is that this really isn't about wealth redistribution. This is about investments. This is about wealth creation and wealth generation. For every $1 that you invest in infrastructure, you get up to $6 back that's created in terms of economic mobilization. And so if this was a purely redistributive policy, mm-hmm. I do think that there would be a lot more resistance. But I think that people recognize that when you invest in new technology, when you invest in creating jobs, when you invest in infrastructure, it creates returns that aren't being taken away from anybody.
What? What did I just hear? Golly, it's like getting drunk without alcohol. Anyway.
If you ever go to an investor and they say, yeah, you know what? Every time you invest something, you get something back. 100% guaranteed every time. Is that how it works? The answer is no.
Yeah, that's not how it goes.
Where the hell she's coming up with the $1 in, $6 out thing? I have no idea.
Magic!
Where's that coming
Where
from?
Are you getting that? Welcome to the second hour of the show. At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on the Facebooks. Oh man, we had a pretty busy hour, and I got more to get into. Thomas Sowell warns that the United States may not resist the siren song of stupidity. I mean, socialism. So we'll talk about that. But y'all, cow fart regulation, I promised, and I shall deliver. It's really here. This comes by out of Sacramento. California Air Resources Board. Rare has it. Big League Politics has it. They say that the California Air Resources Board is making the new anti-fart measures the centerpiece of their climate change plan. The Golden Gate State wants to regulate cow farts in an effort to stop the totally not proven global warming. Bum, bum, bum. That's a real thing.
First major question.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me tell you what they're saying. Ryan McCarthy, a science advisor. He advises on science, Kane, to the California Air Resources Board. He says, quote, if we can reduce emissions of methane, we can really help to slow global warming. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, Sid Miller, who's the Texas Commissioner of Agriculture, thinks it's stupid because he says cows are scientifically incapable of farting. He goes, cows are ruminants. They have four stomachs. They can't fart. It's impossible. Really? I've never wanted to know that much about my food. I really don't care. Volcanoes put out more. I just don't care. I don't care. Yes. Kane, you had a question.
I think the major question is, how do you monitor, if you are the one who believes cows fart, how do you monitor that, first of all? And then the regulation part, right? So what they're saying here is that we need to monitor and then regulate.
Well, right? The dairy farmers, they say, I think they're going after dairy farmers first. They say, here's an actual headline from CNBC. This is where we are, guys. Golden era of journalism. Dairy farmers in California say anti-flatulence law stinks. This has been happening for several years now. Them ramping up to this. Yeah. And now they're regulating the greenhouse gas emissions tied to cow farts. It started under Jerry Brown. They're going to have to appoint people to stand behind the butt of every cow. Does the fire on its tail blow? I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a thing. That's where we are, guys. It is where we are.
I'm still curious about the whole claim that cows don't fart. It's pretty clear they poo. So I'm not kind of...
Yeah,
I'm still curious about that.
I don't care. I just think they're tasty. I don't even care. You can sit here and tell me, Dana, your hamburger used to be a cow and it farted. Okay. It's delicious. It's so good.
And it deserves to be eaten.
See, exactly. That's exactly exactly it. So that's the first thing. The second thing, immigration. They told us that this wasn't going to happen, guys. They told us that this wasn't a thing, that this was just being made up by Trump. Trump was making this up because he's a big, giant racist or something. I mean, clearly, except borders at the breaking point as more than 76,000 migrants, unauthorized migrants, illegal immigrants. Let's just be real. Well, you're an unauthorized purchaser. No, it's a thief. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's like saying an undocumented guest for a home invader in your house, right? Or an unauthorized user of your vehicle for a carjacker. Let's stop with the, you want to talk, what's flatulent is that language. Border at breaking point is more than 76,000 unauthorized migrants crossing a month, says New York Times. What? But this can't be, because the bad orange man said these people weren't, he said that these people were crossing. So of course it was a lie. No, the bad orange man is made of lies. No, no, he's actually not. It's actually not. I was really going to do like a reference there to a food item that is it only you would only know it if you lived in Texas. And it was such a deep dive. I abandoned it because it was like the most Dennis Miller thing I could have ever said in my life. So I decided to walk away from it. Hashtag walk away from that. And also because I can't remember the name of it. And what I call it is apparently bad sexual innuendo that makes my husband blush. And he's like, that's not the name of it. Stop calling it that. Do you want me to tell you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, just
the way you sold it, I'm gonna have to
decline. Well, real quick.
Seriously?
Yeah, and then I'm gonna come back to this. Right. So I ordered this thing online for my kids because, you know, cold, they like hot chocolate. What kid doesn't like hot chocolate, right? There's this lady who's like a chocolatier here in Texas. I swear to you, I'm going to bring this back. But now it's on the table and we have to address it. And it is a snowman and its name is Carl. And yeah. And if you, it's made of chocolate and it like has two parts. It has a head that's full of marshmallows and a bulbous thorax. I don't know, is that what you call that part on a snowman? I don't know, it's the second ball, whatever, the middle ball. It's made, yeah, or torso.
It's not an insect. It's for the record.
Well, it's not a human either.
No, it's not, but it's shaped like one, like some.
What the hell? A human is shaped like a snowman. Anyway, and it's midsection is filled with chocolate powder, right? Like she's like this famous chocolatier, Kate Visor. And so, oh my gosh. Anyway, and it's short order because Oprah named it as one of her favorite things. And I was on Amazon and I'm like, better order it. So I order this. You can only have one at a time. So I order this chocolate snowman and its name is Carl. So I call it something that apparently I only learned recently was not something I should say publicly. You know what that was?
What we're public.
What's the opposite of cold?
Hot.
And what is the snow?
Okay. That's all right.
Anyway, it's kind of cool because you can put Carl, the snowman, in a boiling pot of milk and his head melts and the marshmallows float out. And then his midsection melts. And the powder makes the milk turn chocolate. And that's how you get the hot chocolate. Yeah. Anyway, how was I going to bring this up? I forget. It was there somewhere. Yeah, it was there. So, okay. Steve, what happened? You know what I'm talking about? What were we talking about?
No, I'm just as lost as everyone else. I was so wrapped in
it. Okay. Anyway, I was gonna reference it, but then I call him Carl, but I have an adjective in front of it, and I realize, oh crap, I can't say that. Oh man, and so I lost.
It was about
all meaning.
We were at California cow farting, and then you went on to some tangent.
I don't remember. I'll remember it right when we're off air. Anyway, long story short. That's what happened. Oh, because we were talking about how the papers were saying that, you know, that Trump is made of lies. And I was going to say, like, Carl has marshmallows in his head. And then nobody would have, but I was going to say it in a way that it would have horrified everybody. And so I had to immediately change it up. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. It's going to, do you know, in the past 5 months, there have been more illegal immigrants crossing the border in the past 5 months. It actually, according to the statistics, it's a record surge and it is more in 5 months than the whole year, which is, that's kind of bad.
Crisis.
Yeah, it's kind of, you could say that, a crisis. You, just number of, so many, they said it's going to exceed the Obama era. And they say on average that there are 55 people who enter the country illegally who are transported to hospitals each day. Texas Tribune says it's more than the system can handle. They had a big piece on this. They said apprehensions of illegal aliens, they call them undocumented. Illegal alien is the correct terminology. You are someone who is not a citizen of the country who enters the country illegally. They say that it is surging, and so far this fiscal year, apprehensions have tripled from the same period last year. The biggest increase was in the Border Patrol's El Paso sector, which also includes New Mexico. During the first 5 months of this fiscal year, there were over 36,000 family units apprehended. It is a 1,689% increase. And the Customs and Border Patrol Commissioner, Kevin McLeanan, said that, quote, the system is well beyond capacity and remains at the breaking point. The latest figures were released. This is why the president's pushing. This is why Kristen Nielsen was there testifying to the House today. And they say that it's an astronomical number. Oh, but it was an imaginary crisis, right? Isn't that what everyone said? Yeah.
Yeah, but not only that, remember when they proposed limiting the beds at these immigration detention centers too? Mm-hmm. So knowing this, why would the Dems even go that direction?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm going to tweet that Carl Snowman out too, by the way. Lorraine found it. So you all can see what I'm talking about.
Room temperature, Carl?
Room temperature, Carl. Because I can't. Now you guys get it? Yeah, now you get it. Oh, my heavens. All right. We got a lot more to get into. Steve, somewhere like, I don't get it. We're going to have to explain to him later. Patriot Mobile is my cell phone service. And also on my drinking, they gave me a thermos. Nice. It also doubles as an instrument. I take it with me wherever I go. And everyone's like, what's that? And I'm like, that's my cell phone service. Do you want to give money to abortion? Then you better drop your cell phone service. I don't say it like that. But basically, look, here's the thing. You use your phone every day. How often do you use your phone? Oh, you got to get on Facebook. You got to see what Karen's doing on Facebook, right? You got to get on Instagram, see what's happening on Instagram. Maybe you Snapchat. Maybe you are on Twitter, whatever it is, even just texting or using, using your phone to make calls, which is kind of the purpose of them. The whole thing is that every time you use your phone on your big mobile service, you're just giving money to big mobile phone companies that are paying that money to Planned Parenthood, to gun control groups and amnesty groups. Make your money work for you. Seriously, why would you continue funding this progressivism? Switch to Patriot Mobile, the only conservative cell phone company in the country. They offer a contract buyout, $500 per line, up to $1,500 per account and credits. And it's super fast, super reliable, great customer service, just across the nation cell phone coverage. Why not make a change today? They make it easy. You can get unlimited plans starting as low as $20 a month. Mention Dana when you call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Visit them online at patriotmobile.com/Dana. Get up to 2 activation fees waived. 1-800-A-PATRIOT, Patriot Mobile. .com/Dana.
It's the Dana Show.
Song kicks up slow. You got to wait for it to get to the chorus. At D Lash on Twitter. Official Dana Lash on Facebook. Instagram too. And I put the link up on Twitter as well so you can go see what we were talking about. Let's get you set up with headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Yes, you would, because you would miss it. So Taylor Swift wrote an essay for Elle magazine on 30 lessons that she's learned ahead of her 30th birthday. And she says she carries, quote, army grade gunshot bandages over fear of violence. Wow. Kane has his thoughts. Are you sitting over there so quietly?
Well, they call them tampons.
Yeah, but that's true. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I think it's you got to focus on the right things and the real ways to prevent craziness. You know, that's the best way to do it. Moving on down the line here. This is interesting. This credit card. Well, I talked about credit card. More studies on how vaccines don't lead to autism. This is from a couple of different places. There was a 10-year study on over 500,000 children. And they were looking at whether or not certain vaccines actually increase the risk for autism, triggers it, etc., in susceptible children. And what they discovered, it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, is that it does not. The FDA has approved a nasal spray to treat depression. That's pretty. That was very interesting. I was reading about how that were to work. It's going to be sold as Spravato. and it's for patients who have tried at least two other medications without success, and it should be taken with an oral antidepressant. So it's they say it's critical for those who apparently other things have not worked before, and the FDA just approved the first new type of it in over 30 years. So that's kind of interesting. Let's see. This Mark Kelly's year-long corporate speaking tour clashes with the no corporate PAC money pledge. This coming from The Intercept. The astronaut who is running for Arizona's open Senate seat pledged to refuse corporate political action committee donations. He says he wanted to fight the influence of big money in politics, but he's made at least 19 paid appearances at corporate events, including the Cayman Islands, where he addressed financial and prescription drug industries, which critics say violate his pledge. Michael Bloomberg says, okay, fine, I'm not running for president. No one cares. And a black journalist group places CNN on what they call a special monitoring list, according to The Hill. The National Association of Black Journalists said Tuesday that it was going to place CNN on a monitoring list, citing a lack of black representation amongst the network's leadership ranks. More to come. More of the show. Democrats say they're coming for Texas, and it's ground zero.
This portion of The Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
Travis County in 2020.
When you helped win in 2018, you were doing something very patriotic for America. And when we win a great Democratic victory, and it is essential that we win that victory in 2020, we will know that that victory was our destiny.
Oh boy, that was last night. Nancy Pelosi saying that Texas, in fact, is ground zero. Texas is ground zero for the next election efforts. She was in Austin at an event and was telling Democrats, actually, this is Monday night. She was telling Democrats Monday night in Travis County that much of what happens in terms of any kind of Democrat success in the 2020 election is going to come from Texas. She says, quote, it's, you heard her, Texas is ground zero for us next election. It was the Democrat Party's Johnson Benson Richards dinner. It's their big fundraising event and named after a governor and then Johnson, the president and a four-term senator. And she says, this is what she says, quote, know your power. The state is so important. When it turns, and it will soon, it will make a difference, not only in Texas, it'll make a difference in the country and a difference in the world, end quote. Now, here's why that if that came to pass, it would. If Democrats flip Texas, you will never have another Republican president again. You will not. Go do the math. I encourage you. Go and do the electoral math. You see how that works. If Texas flips and becomes a blue state, there will never be another Republican in the White House. Texas's electoral votes have been the only reason that Republicans have been competitive in previous general elections. It is not hyperbole. It is not exaggeration. It is indisputable mathematical fact. That's a lot of votes. And go back and do the math even between Trump and Hillary Clinton. I mean, you have, 36 electoral votes here. That's huge. Very big. And it goes to popular vote. Actually, it has 38, but you had two electors who Texas was the only state in 2016 that actually gave the president fewer than its full allotment, even though he had won the popular vote, because you had two people who didn't do their duty as electors. There's that. So that is true. And with that, the polling may support what she says. Now, I want you to think about this. Wendy Davis was run several election cycles ago as a way to seed the ground in Texas. They didn't run Wendy Davis against Greg Abbott for governor because they thought Wendy Davis could actually beat Greg Abbott for governor. They ran Wendy Davis as a place marker. For so long, Democrats were unsuccessful in Texas after it went red. But they've been implementing a new strategy. It's been a little tougher for them to implement in Texas. It's taking a little longer. It's costing a lot more money. But it's working. Think about in Colorado. I followed that so carefully. I was there multiple times. You had 63 years of Republicans running the state legislature. They flipped it in two election cycles. There's a book out there. You can go on Amazon and look for it. It's called The Blueprint. And it's about that. It's about operatives writing about how they flipped Colorado. You had a lot of people coming in from California because Californians are there. It's an exodus. The sad thing is they're bringing their crappy government with them by way of votes. They go to these states that have it so good, no income tax or lower taxes or this or that, and they try to replicate the blank hole of the state government that they left in the freer state to which they've moved. And in Colorado, two election cycles, and you had a Democrat majority in the legislature. And they immediately went out and began raising taxes and banning guns. Absolutely. So Texas, they've tried to repeat that in Texas. And for those people in Texas who say that couldn't be done here. Well, that's exactly what they said in Colorado. It couldn't be done here. I have some friends who work in Colorado politics. They work on the strategy side, and they said, you know, that's what they were told 8 years ago. Oh, it can't be done here. 10 years ago, it can't be done here. And they watched as it was done. And they were warning people and warning people, but people were apathetic. They thought, this is Colorado. No way. And they did. You don't think it can happen in Texas? The county that I live in is the reddest damn county in Texas. And Beto O'Rourke won it by fewer than 2,000 votes. The first time that has ever happened. And that's because Democrats spent millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. We're talking about Beto getting $20 million from out of state here, $10 million from out of state there. The majority of his money was out of state. Democrats are trying to buy the state. Now, when Wendy Davis ran against Greg Abbott, it was just a place marker. It was just a way to seed the ground for a harvest to come. Well, and they got some shoots. And with Beto, they never actually expected him to win against Ted Cruz. It was so close in Texas. If Donald Trump hadn't come to campaign for Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz would not have won Texas. And I think some of that has to do because the president, and I talked about this at the time, I think he went too hard. You got to be careful when you go after people that you need to rely on to keep a majority in the Senate. You got to be careful. And I think he learned from that, but he went too hard. Because there were Republicans that weren't even going to go for Cruz, and Trump had to come here and show solidarity. Cruz would not have won. I have some friends that work with his campaign. It's going to make them mad me saying this, but it's true. You all need to know he wouldn't have won if Trump had not come down to Texas to campaign for him. And the reddest district in the state, and I know this well, went for Beto by fewer than 2,000 votes. Insane. We also had a lower voter turnout, though, too. That plays into some of it, and it shouldn't. It should never have been that close to begin with. Beto had no, he didn't have a, they didn't expect him to have a shot in hell. They never realized it could be that close. So when you look at that, yeah, Nancy Pelosi really isn't too far off the mark. She really isn't. With all the money that Democrats have dumped into the state the last two cycles, the realization is that, and all the people from California that have moved here, because Rick Perry did almost too good of a job at luring companies to Texas and adding to the revenue. But those companies bringing with them all them California voters. It's so much here that when we went, when I had to sell my house and we were moving a couple of years ago, I learned that there's a whole real estate market that's specifically marked for the California buyer. They have been creating new subdivisions everywhere with modern homes, modern looking designed homes for the California West Coast buyer because so many people are moving in from California. It's changing things quick. And it's true. Now, I don't think that this necessarily says that Texas is going to flip or that it could even be a swing state. I think Texas would have to stop off at swing state before it became a full-on blue state. But they did one poll that I don't know how it was a Texas Tribune University of Texas survey. They released it Tuesday. They surveyed 1,200 registered voters, not likely voters, registered voters. It was done between February 15th to the 24th, and it showed roughly half of respondents saying that they would consider choosing another candidate besides Trump if the election were held now. Now, I haven't seen the methodology of this, but the state is becoming competitive. That is true. That is absolutely true. Now, Greg Abbott, the statesman, the Austin Statesman notes, Abbott won his election by 13 points. But let's look at down ticket. You had Dan Patrick. He won by almost five points. That's close. You have Chip Roy, who came out of Austin. He's a congressman. Michael McCall, John Carter, who came out of Round Rock, Will Hurd. They won by fewer than 5 points. That's pretty huge. Now, a lot of people were asking about the Beto factor. Now, I don't know how much stock I put into this poll. In this UT Texas Tribune poll, they said 49% of Texan voters approve the job of Trump is doing. Well, that is grossly down from the vast majority of people who approve of the job that he's doing. In fact, I shared this Gallup poll with you yesterday. He's at an all-time high for polling. And because Texas was considered a pretty solid Trump country, that's why I don't put a lot of stock into this, because the numbers don't exactly jive. It doesn't reconcile. Why would Texas be a hell of a lot lower than the national average? So that's why I don't put a lot of stock in it, because the national, let me pull this up. Because we just had this yesterday. His approval rating, the RCP average has him, let me look at this. The RCP average, the Gallup average had him at pretty high. RCP average had him at pretty high. So this would put Texas's, if you looked at it like this, it would put Texas low, and Texas is very much Trump country. So that's why it doesn't really, you know, that's why I don't really necessarily put a lot of stock in it, because there's some numbers that don't add up, and it's more than just like the, you know, the 2.8 that they have here as their average. I just don't necessarily, I question that. But I think that the rest of it, I think that there is something to it. Absolutely. I think that they probably would consider it. They probably consider somebody else. The Senate race is going to be a huge indicator. So you have, everybody's going for John Cornyn's seat. And you have Joaquin Castro, who is considering taking that seat. His twin brother, Julian Castro, who was the former mayor of San Antonio. Julian and Joaquin Castro, remember, they did the Lindsay Lohan parent swap when they, so one of them could go to a fundraiser, and they're identical twins, and they didn't tell anybody, and it was inadvertently discovered. I think Castro would have a really hard time outside of San Antonio. I think he would have a really hard time, because they're socialist. They're straight up socialist. Their mom was a co-founder of La Raza. Now, Beto O'Rourke has more statewide recognition, name recognition. A lot of people are either neutral, more people than normal are a little neutral on him, and he still doesn't have higher favorable ratings. I think Ted Cruz needs to work on some of the amiability factor, because he can be too lawyerly sometimes, and that makes him seem inaccessible. And he's got to work on that, because it's a huge perception problem. That's why you see all these humanizing pieces about Beto everywhere. Oh, here's Beto skateboarding poorly. Here's him playing three power chords on a guitar and acting like he's in a punk band. They try to humanize him because that's what Cruz doesn't do to himself. So you got to think about all this. This is a big deal. I'm not saying that to scare people unnecessarily. It's true. Democrats have spent a lot of money to flip the state of Texas. And Wendy Davis and Beto O'Rourke, they were seeding the ground and then watching the crop grow. And they're going to come in 2020 for some harvest. And that's why people need to get it together. We got a lot more in store. We got a whole other hour. We got Florida Man on the way coming up, too. We're also, there's a bunch of stuff that I'm following as well. The latest with regards to immigration, some of the House movements, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to get into all of that and more. More of the Dana Show after this. Stay with us.
Listen live around the world
at danaradio.com.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. I love me some Brandi Carlile. She good. It's time for some Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Oh, man. This is bad. All right, so let's do this one. A Florida man calls 911 to report himself drunk. Oh, this is Polk County, Florida. Oh, okay. Winter Haven. Polk County deputies received an unusual 911 call. Man reported himself drunk driving. Driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs is a serious crime. The sheriff's officials wrote on Facebook that they LOTO. They said in this particular incident, since nobody was hurt, we couldn't help but LOTO, meaning we laughed our tasers off. The guy said, yeah, I'm actually in front of the police department. And he goes, we have a unit coming out to get you now. He says, I think I'm going to go get something to eat and they can catch up with me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not really how that works, but okay. Yeah, I mean, go on. Woo, no. A smoke cloud in the area leads a Florida man to ask the cops, did you find all my pot? According to the Miami Herald, this guy looks shocked and surprised that he was arrested in his own mugshot. A Felsmere marijuana man, Florida man, didn't try to hide after smoking up his neighborhood last Thursday, said a deputy. In fact, he seemed downright hospitable and helpful to law enforcement. In return, they gave 64-year-old David Ellis a place in Indian River County Sheriff's Office crossbar bed and breakfast on charges of felony possession of marijuana, a possession of a controlled substance without a prescription, misdemeanor drug paraphernalia. He posted $6,000 bond after his breakfast on Friday morning. They said that they rolled toward his home after neighbors complained about someone open burning, and it said his yard was large enough that the smoke cloud was seen en route and a smoke haze could be seen surrounding neighbors' properties. It was a pile of debris about 5 to 6 feet wide with flames 2 to 3 feet high in the yard, and apparently he was burning cannabis. He said, I was just burning the leaves. He said, it's just trash. He repeated himself to the officers, and Ellis goes, it's trash. You don't smoke that. I've got like a quarter pound of it inside.
Oh.
What? Whoa. So it smelled like massive weed smell because he was burning pot plants. And then when they went back inside, Ellis asked the police if he saw his pot, if the officer saw his pot. Keppel said he saw some on the tray, and Ellis goes, I got a lot more in the refrigerator.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. And then so the officer said, look, you remember, you have a right to remain silent. And Ellis goes, yeah, you can search the house. I'm not going to tell you where I get it from. So, and then afterwards he said, did you find all my pot? He seemed incredibly helpful to officers. Why would you burn that, though, and light that out? And when you're like in a tight neighborhood, because people are going to, yeah, why? I'm sure that when they called the police to complain about the smoke, that it wasn't just the smoke that they were complaining about, too. You know what I mean? Third hour on the way. And when we come back, they are third wave feminizing the crap out of Captain Marvel. They're saying that only men are giving it bad reviews. That's not true. We have that and a ton more. Stay with us.
One of the reasons why I think that why we're advancing policies like a Green New Deal is because we need to, yes, each and every one of us step up individually, but we also need to fix our systems that make it harder for us to act individually. You know, I have a trash chute right here on this door, but we don't have a recycling chute right here on that same door. So that means it's going to be fundamentally harder to recycle than it is to just toss whatever you want down that chute.
Right. Oh my gosh. That's... Oh my God. Can I have a moment? Welcome to the third hour. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. I don't need to tell you who that was. It's every day. Plastic bags, how do they work? I don't
know how to work this plastic bag unless the government tells me. I don't know.
I can be upset that I get 10 plastic bags at the grocery store and then have to toss out my plastic bags because the recycling program in the area is tough. And that's,
oh my gosh, like, how do they work? I mean, I get a plastic bag and I never use it again. What is, oh my gosh, no, this is so dumb. Do you know what I have in my, you know what I have in my pantry? You have it too?
Oh, yeah.
You do also? You have a big old Costco-sized bag of Pirate's Booty Cane? No, I'm kidding. No, everyone has a plastic bag that is filled with other plastic bags. That's right. Yay. Everybody has a plastic bag that's filled with other plastic bags. I tried to get all organized one time and used a tissue box to put plastic bags in and took the plastic bag out of the tissue box like it was a tissue. And then my youngest was like, fun game, and destroyed it. So maybe something more durable. But the whole point is that who gets a plastic bag? Who in the world gets a plastic bag and doesn't reuse it for something because they have so many uses? Who doesn't reuse it? I use them as trash can liners, not for my kitchen trash, but for all the, you know, like your bathroom trash and like the kids, you know, by their desk, their for their when they do homework and sharpen pencils and stuff. In my office, all of that. You reuse them and you use them over and over again. Sometimes, get this, sometimes I will even put stuff in them on the way to games and that, and carry items in those plastic bags, like on my way to a track meet or a soccer game or something like that, of snacks and stuff for the kids. It's crazy, but true. Who knew that you could reuse plastic bags? I don't understand what her damage is here. I mean, like, it's recycling so tough because there's only a trash chute, and I have no problem with like reusing plastic bags over and over again until I can't, and then throwing them away. It's totally fine.
And by the way, some grocery stores offer, you know, you want to bring them back. Yeah, you want to bring them back. We'll recycle them for you. Like, they don't mind. It cuts their costs, too.
Or you can get a reusable bag. Do you honestly believe that she shops at any place other than Whole Foods?
It's true.
No, you don't believe that. And they guess what they have, like, at the kiosk as you get, or a.k.a. Whole Paycheck, as you get up to check out? They have reusable bags you can buy.
Canvas.
They got them at Trader Joe's, too. They have reusable bags. Reusable bags. They're amazing. Oh, my gosh. You know, honestly, people are crazy. And I don't get it. I don't get it. All right, so I had to share that with you. So Captain Marvel... Oh my gosh. There was some site called Mary Sue that got mad, which is totally if I were going to create the most stereotypical third wave feminist website for third wave feminists to write about third wave feminist stuff, like an SNL skit, I would call it the Mary Sue. And the tagline would just be gal. That's it. Hi, welcome to Mary Sue. We're a third wave feminist website. We're gonna write about feminist issues. We only hire feminists and we talk about feminist stuff. Oh my gosh, how boring. Oh my gosh, feminists are so boring. So male critics were told to sit this one out. Sit this one out. Sit what out? The whole criticizing Captain Marvel So it's out apparently, and it's boring. And I don't, I'm not going to see it because it just looks boring to me. And I don't know. I wish that they would have. Some people said that the who have seen it, they said the writing's kind of off. Some say she gives the Zoolander blue steel look in every single thing. That's the only expression she has. She's like the superhero Kristen Stewart. Her superpower is annoying the hell out of everyone. Captain Marvel. That would be a superpower. So the, let's see, Brie Larson tried to make a point during her press tour that she didn't want it, she didn't want stuff to be dominated by men, particularly white men. And then the Mary Sue, which is the, hold up, this is the stupid, this is the set I was telling y'all about. They wrote, notice how all the negative reviews of Captain Marvel are written by men. Hey, by the way, do you want to know what a third wave feminist writer grows up to be? The person who goes into Target and says, can I speak to your manager? That person. So they are mad because they say all the negative reviews for Captain Marvel are from men, except they're not. And then someone else on the internet, because Twitter.com can be a fun place sometimes, said, by the way, hi, here are all of the women that have just panned this whole thing because they say it's boring as hell. And they listed each one of these writers and their reviews. So they're over at The Culturist, Reeling Reviews, Us Weekly, Associated Press, Time Magazine. There are women who just panned it. And they said it's a boring mishmash of ideas from a score of other movies and franchises. And some people said it was just done poorly and it looked like just an extension of Netflix doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That it was just like that. And they just said it was just a mediocre superhero was what Slate had said. They go, it's just as formulaic as other superhero films. That's a first. They act like no other woman has ever been a superhero. And meanwhile, Gal Gadot is over there going, hi. Right. No other woman's ever done this. Brie Larson's a first ever. Oh my gosh, this is so long, this review. I tried reading it a little bit more on break and I just never got into it. It was just the longest bunch of crap ever. But I thought that there was a good write-up over at National Review. And I actually agree with this. Kyle Smith, I thought, put it really well. And I agree with it. He wrote, 2 years ago, Wonder Woman proved a female-led superhero movie could reach the highest levels of the genre, with Gal Gadot proving robust and redoubtable, yet charming and feminine. I spent Captain Marvel waiting for Gadot. What I got was Brie Larson, a charmless, humorless, a character so without texture that she might as well be made out of aluminum, or as the British say, aluminium. He writes, Captain Marvel might be the first blockbuster movie whose animating idea is fear. Every page of the script betrays a terror of what people might say about the film on social media. Give Carol Danvers a love interest? Eek! No, women can't be defined by the men in their lives. Make her vulnerable? OMG, no, that's so crazy. Feminine? What century are you from if you think females should be feminine? Toward the end of a movie, the movie when a villain preparing for an epic confrontation with Carol, the fighter pilot turned superwoman, chides her that she will fail because she can't control her emotions. There is no tension whatsoever. We've just spent 2 hours watching her be utterly unfazed by anything. Giving Carol actual emotions would, of course, lead to at least 27 people calling the film misogynist on Twitter, and directors Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck are petrified of that. Just to be completely unerringly, let's bubble wrap the universe safe, Boden and Fleck decided to make Danvers stronger than strong, fiercer than fierce, braver than brave. Larson spins the entire movie, kicking butt and delivering her lines in an I got this monotone and staring down everything with a blue steel gaze of supreme confidence. Superheroes are defined by their limitations. Superman's kryptonite, Batman's mortality. But Captain Marvel is just an invincible bore. The screenplay by Boden Fleck and Geneva Robertson-Dorett, with the story of the three of them plus Nicole Perelman and Meg LaFave, presents us with Brie Larson's Carol being amazingly strong and resilient at beginning, middle, and end. This isn't an arc. It's a straight line. When we first meet the title character, she's called Vers, a soldier in the Kree civilization, blah, 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 blah. He goes, nothing, there's no plot twist. Blah, blah, blah. Da, 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 da. The directors are afraid that suggesting women put their children above all else will get them called out as retrograde by the feminist on Twitter. They don't realize that treating every potential obstacle as no problem whatsoever makes for a very dull movie. And they said there was a good 90s soundtrack. But they said that this is the trap. He goes, there's not an ounce of self-deprecation in her, that she's humorless and insufferable as an actress and her personality rubbed off on the character. And he finishes, the trap the filmmakers set for themselves is this. They set out to make a girl power statement, but feared acknowledging any differences between men and women. And despite Larson's sylph-like build, there's no suggestion at any point that she might be overmatched by a guy who is 80 or 100 pounds larger. If being a female is defined as exactly like a male, only more resilient, how interesting is that? And the thing that I'm getting is this is one of the reasons of why Wonder Woman was so great and why Wonder Woman, played by Gal Gadot, was so great, because Gal Gadot would kick your jaw off. Gal Gadot would kick your ass so hard, it would be felt up your generational family tree at least 4 branches. She was super strong. She didn't know her own strength, and she had a weakness. She was feminine at the same time that she could experience emotions, and she could make herself vulnerable, which is the biggest weakness of a superhero. If you can't fear for the person you are cheering for, then what good is the film? What good is the character arc? If you cannot find, and that's one of the great things about superheroes, is that anybody out there can at least find one thing that they in common with that particular superhero. And it's not the super strength, and it's not the X-ray vision, and it's not the ability to clink your arm cuffs together and rappel, you know, half gods across an entire airfield. It is that vulnerability. It is that vulnerability, and people who choose to make themselves vulnerable on behalf of the greater good. And that is why audience goers identify with superheroes. And when you remove that because you're a pansy and you're afraid of having your film be criticized by retrograde third wave feminists out there who think that any sort of vulnerability, that any sort of expression of feeling is somehow is sexist or is a slam on femininity or a slam on females, they miss the entire point of what it is to be feminine, of what it is to be a strong woman, and what it is to be a superhero. And that's why this movie's gonna suck. I get really mad about this stuff. All right, we got to get moving on because we got headlines and all sorts of stuff coming up. Kel-Tec is a great firearm. You got to check it out. They're right there in Florida. They make some cool stuff. Privately owned, family company. They've been doing this since 1995, and they don't copy stuff. They completely innovate new firearms, and because of the tax refund, they were able to actually innovate and create 2 different ones, including the very cool CP-33. Now, the CP-33, the CP stands for competition pistol. 33 is for the standard 2 33-round magazines that come with it. But it's a 22LR. Awesome. It's very cool. A very, very smooth trigger pull. What is it, like 4 pounds? That 4-pound trigger pull, single action. And it's very fun to take to the range. The whole family can, you know, take part in competitive target acquisition because it has an ambidextrous operating handle, magazine catch, and safety. So whether you're a righty or a lefty, you can access all of that. And it has an aluminum Picatinny-style rail from sight to sight for mounting optics, all kinds of stuff. Put on throw a quality weapon light on there. Really fun, really, really fun handgun. This is something that you definitely have to check out. It's kind of based a little bit, too, on the PMR-30, which is the other 22 that they have, and the CMR-30, which is the sibling to that. Check out everything that they have at KeltecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's The Dana Show.
We got some headlines for you. Let's get you set up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let's get rocking with this. So, another cabinet member resigns. Justin Trudeau considers, meaning it won't happen, making some sort of display of contrition after he had previously pressured the former AG of preventing the prosecution of an engineering company. So now he's in a lot of trouble for that. Also, Cocaine Mitch gonna give it to him. Yeah, you can hear DMX a little bit in there in his own little Mitch McConnell way. So apparently he's gonna bypass Schumer, rumored to, and use the nuke option to fast track Trump's judges. Elections have consequences. So he's prepared, apparently, the word is on the Hill, that he's prepared to, he and his GOP caucus, to get these conservative judges to lifetime appointments, and they could accelerate unilaterally by using the nuclear option. Thanks, Harry Reid. Thank you. So appreciate it. So great. This story is disturbing. So John Hinckley, everybody remembers John Hinckley. He tried to kill Reagan. Potential assassin, and he ended up technically, he's a killer. He says he lacks close friends. So he is living with his mother and older brother in Virginia now, and he's anonymously selling books online, which I think I'd like to know if, you know what I mean? If he's, you don't want to buy a book from. And he's selling books online and other items at an antique mall. They did this mental health evaluation, and the Fox 5 New York says that he's the happiest he's ever been, but he struggles to make close friends or develop romantic relationships in the Williamsburg area. Yeah, that's kind of what started all of this in the first place. The fact that he's mentally unhinged, but also because of the romantic relationship thing. Remember him with Jodie Foster. So yeah, I don't really think that would be a good idea. Moving on down the line here. The president says to Congress that he agrees we have to have a little residual force stay around in Syria for a while, which makes a lot of people wonder, are you agreeing there with Mattis? Interesting. Stay with us. We have a lot more coming up next, right after this.
Stream the podcasts. Tell your Amazon device, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
You know, I I've said this before, I understand ideological differences. If you are a Democrat that believes that ICE should have more power in this time, that's one thing. If you can lobby for that in committee, you can try to add that to the bill. But to use a Republican maneuver to add this poison pill 5 minutes for the bill, mm-hmm. and then the other 200 plus Democrats in the caucus have to decide 5 minutes before passage, do I choose between the gun safety community and these mm-hmm. families or the immigrant community, when these are not two communities that are opposed? The fact that we're forced to choose between them, I thought was wrong.
She's mad because this was the part of the bill for the criminalization of private transfers. And this it's pretty amazing. She's mad because ICE in the bill, they were able to get it in, has to be notified if someone here illegally tries to purchase a firearm, and she fought against that, but yet claims to be for quote unquote gun safety, whatever. That bill's going to die in the Senate. It's not going to go anywhere. Anyway, just fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. This also gets into, let me pull this story up. I have a lot of windows open, so bear with me. I saw this story on CBS, and and I also saw this work from, there's a couple of different stories here. Kirstjen Nielsen, according to David Martosko over at Daily Mail, was describing this morning during the hearing that a lot of people who present themselves at the border as family units, he writes, are posing as families, and that Department of Homeland Security uncovered, quote, recycling rings, where innocent young people are used multiple times to help aliens fraudulently gain entry. Wow. Now, this, and of course, there's the record number here, but Trump's, what he said has been proven over and over again. Now, I was looking at this story from CBS, and I thought it was quite interesting, because Kamala Harris had tweeted this story out and said, I can't believe we're doing this to infants in the country. Oh, that's rich. I cannot believe this is happening to infants in the country. Audio soundbite 18. This is her right here saying it.
And we cannot tolerate a society and live in a country with any level of pride when our babies are being slaughtered.
No, she wasn't talking about killing infants or denying them health care after they're born here in America, because she actually voted against that last week. Don't forget. No, she's talking about this story she tweeted out herself from CBS. It says 12 detained babies have been released from ICE custody in Dilley, Texas. Kane's face. It said ICE officers released 12 of the infants that were held at a rural Texas detention center where illegal immigrant advocates claim they dealt with dirty water. They had limited baby food and a lack of medical care. This sounds like stuff that you'd like when you would if you go to a hotel where I don't have any bottled water. These conditions, this room is subpar. I mean, I came to this hotel because I thought I was going to get some service. And here, it's not even a clean room. And we don't even have any baby food in here. The hell did you think this was? You entered the country illegally. What the hell do you think? You were going to a Ritz? My gosh, they're not equipped to deal with this because this is not what they should be doing. So all of these advocates, the American Immigration Lawyers Association, the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, the American Immigration Council, they demanded from the House Judiciary Committee hearings on conditions behind the doors of these centers where people are kept until they can make sure you're not a terrorist. And then there's nothing else that they can do. And they said that it's horrible that they do this, that they keep these people and they keep these infants. And they said mothers weren't given bottled water to mix with their formula, forcing infants to drink tap water. They said that they were denied physician dental care. They're denied access to registered and licensed practical nurses. That they were denied this, and ICE was like, well, we make sure that they get, if they're in trouble, that they get medical care. How is it ICE's fault that people who know the dangers of going across the desert and trying to illegally enter a country, that's not ICE's fault? No, the people who advertise, oh, go ahead and come on in, you'll get amnesty. It's really your fault. If you want to blame somebody, blame you. But what do you think this is? You're illegally crossing the border. You get detained. Did you think they were going to take you to a W hotel? Did you think that they were going to take you to, I don't know, even just like a Holiday Inn? This isn't a hotel. You are not entitled to anything. You're entering the country illegally. And you're mad because you're not being provided with all of these things? Where do you think this money comes from? Border Security had their budget obliterated previously under the last administration, and this current administration has been trying to build it back brick by brick. My heavens. It's just amazing to see that this is the expectation, and Kamala Harris tweeted this out. It's horrible that parents choose to endanger their children that way. But it's amazing to me that Democrats are only concerned with babies if their parents dangerously, without any regard for their well-being or welfare, decide to drag them across the desert and commit a crime by illegally entering a country.
During this administration.
Yeah, during this administration. Good heavens. Now, in Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers tweeted out the other day, we're announcing that undocumented folks is what he calls them. People who commit the crime of entering illegally. He says, we're announcing tonight that undocumented folks will be eligible to receive driver's licenses and ID cards. This makes our roads and communities safer, and it strengthens our economy and Wisconsin families. They're not undocumented folks. The correct legal term is illegal alien. He was ratioed beyond all belief. His tweet got 1.2 thousand retweets, but he got 17,000 comments. Mm-hmm. How are you going to make... They're not going to drive any differently than when they didn't have a license or ID. What, are they just going to magically drive better? Is that what's going to happen? Good heavens. I mean, this... And if an insurance company, do you think an insurance company is going to pay out if you're hit by someone who's in the country illegally? Really? The hell is that going to do to drivers in Wisconsin? Did Governor Tony Evers think about that? How is that safer for the families on the roads in Wisconsin? when you're, how is it more affordable for families when your insurance rates triple because now he's allowing people to be able to access these IDs and be able to drive around? This is not going to make them magically drive better. I mean, people have to bring in what, so when people have to get their driver's license in Wisconsin, they have to bring proof of residence, they have to bring their social security card, etc. Do you know that by giving IDs to people in the country illegally, that you are making it easier for them to illegally obtain a firearm also? Oh, I bet he didn't think about that, though, did he? And how that is the top group of prohibited possessors on the FBI's list of prohibited possession? Well, these people who are have entered the country illegally, they're going to drive better magically because they have, I give them an ID card and a driver's license. And don't worry if you get hit. You can afford it. I mean, your insurance company won't pay it out. Good luck fighting that out with your insurance company. I mean, seriously, think about it. How does that work? That's not going to happen. How many times do you hear people there? I can't tell you how many times I hear of accidents in Texas where someone was here illegally. I have a friend who was hit. This was 3 years ago, who was hit by someone who was not in the country legally. Her insurance company didn't have nothing to do with it. So he just made it more dangerous for families and had less accountability.
I thought this was the party that wanted background checks and universal background checks. So why would they be against a delay there at the border just so that a proper background check can be done before we let these people in? I mean, this is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's only situational background checks. And it's weirder still because vehicles account for more loss of life than firearms, like tons more.
They're giving those out.
The only reason they can even try to make the numbers compete is if they include suicides and justifiable homicides, which means self-defense. That's the only way. If you take it away, the criminal usage is that, I mean, it's not even, it's three quarters. That's everything else. The criminal usage is what remains. It doesn't even compete with vehicular deaths. And yet the governor in Wisconsin just made it easier for people who have broken the law and entered the country illegally to, I mean, he's made it unsafe for his constituents. Well, just curious. So if you're assisting someone in their criminality, how is that defined? Legally? If you assist in the criminal actions of another, how do you define that legally?
Accomplice.
Aiding and abetting. That's what the governor's done. We have laws for a reason. I mean, I understand that people on the left want to gaslight everybody into thinking that everything is just sort of situationally applied, but it's not. There's right and wrong, and everyone is equal before the law and underneath it when it's broken. And that's where we are. This is just, it's crazy that we are at this particular point. It's crazy that we are at the point where, I'm looking at Democrats right now. For instance, they are refusing, more and more articles have written. Nancy Pelosi just came out and said she doesn't think that Representative Omar is anti-Semitic and doesn't see a problem with what she said. So the Democrat Party has completely just justified anti-Semitism. They're not going to have a vote on the resolution. They're not going to say anything about her repeated anti-Semitic remarks and how she says Jewish Americans have dual loyalty, which is a horrible, horrible, bigoted smear. They're not going to hold her accountable for that. Just like they didn't hold Ralph Northam accountable for blackface. Nothing there either. They're fine with racism and they're fine with anti-Semitism. If the individuals check intersectional boxes and they can use it to their benefit. You have to realize these people are not about principle. They're about self. That's what they're about. They're about power. Just awful. That's embarrassing for the party. That is embarrassing. Wow. So they are officially, I mean, Nancy Pelosi is lost. Nancy Pelosi is lost. And I don't see how she keeps control much longer. There you go. The socialists have won. And with that, there you have it. It is the Socialist Party. They're Democrats in name only now. Whew, brave new world. CarShield is a program that you definitely need to have. Extended vehicle protection for your vehicle. They make it the process of fixing your car for a covered repair very easy. You can take your vehicle to your favorite mechanic, someone you trust, take it to the dealership to have the work done. They let you choose. And while your car is in the shop, you get a rental car. You also have 24/7 roadside assistance. There's no reason why, if your car is 5,000 to 150,000 miles, that you should have to pay high repair bills. CarShield's administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they can help you. Save yourself thousands in future car repairs and get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle protection like I've done. Call 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana. Visit carshield.com. Use code Dana to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Dana, 800-CAR-6000. A deductible may apply.
To hear today's full show, subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on your device to catch anything you may have missed.
Yeah. Obviously, you're opposed to HR1. You're also opposed to the Green New Deal. Why is the Green New Deal getting a vote in the Senate when HR1 is not?
Because I get to decide what we vote on.
Yeah, that's Mitch McConnell. They were asking, well, why doesn't the universal background check / criminalization of legal private transfers, why isn't that getting voted on? Why are you doing the Green New Deal? That's his response. So the DNC says it's going to exclude Fox News from televising its 2020 debates. They said, nope, they're not going to get to host any debate. They're not going to be able to participate or televising any of their debates.
The tolerant left?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. The tolerant left strikes again.
So wait, they can't somehow feed the signal of that particular and that event happening. They mm-hmm. can't put that out to the public. This public event, they can't put out to their public.
Yeah.
Is what they're saying.
And I wonder if these networks will come to Fox's defense as Fox did to right. these networks' defense previously when Trump discussed something similar.
Oh, we're too close to 2020 for that.
I mean, we're going to talk more about that tomorrow because I'm sure there's going to be more discussion. But Tom Perez, who's the DNC chair, says, nope. He goes, we're not going to have him on. They're banning Chris Wallace. They've banned Brett Baer. They've banned Martha McCallum. All of it. They've banned them from having anything to do with their 2020 debates. Democracy dies in darkness or something.
Yeah, something.
Right? Isn't that how that works? Oh, my word. Just crazy. Craziness.
That's how scared of the truth they are, honestly.
Yeah, it's when you want to shut the other guy up, that's when you show the world that you're afraid of what he's going to say. That's exactly what that shows. Huh. And I find it interesting that they're trying to base this off of this stupid article that was written by, where is this over at? A New Yorker article by Jane Meyer. Jane Meyer, the same person who ruined her credibility and just about ruined Ronan Farrow's when they got behind one of those crazy accusers in the Kavanaugh case, the woman who actually couldn't even remember if Kavanaugh ended up was at the party or was there, and all the other participants, all the other people who've ever been to any party ever said they don't even remember her and that it sounds like she made it up, and Jane Meyer was staking her claim on that. Boy, oh boy. So that's the woman. And she says, oh, well, it said that, they were feeding Trump questions about the debate in advance. You mean like CNN did with Donna Brazile and Hillary Clinton? What? Yeah, that's actually proven because there are emails that prove it. And you guys said that was okay. Let's play devil's advocate for a moment. You guys said that was okay. Interesting. Today in stupidity, Kane.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez should qualify each and every day. But today she definitely qualifies, and this is what got her in.
Set that I get 10 plastic bags at the grocery store and then have to toss out my plastic bags because the recycling program in the area is tough.
All right. It's a tough recycling program, so definitely choke turtles by tossing out your plastic bags. Don't do anything else or think any more mm-hmm. about
you
how
can't
you
ever
can
reuse
them.
You can never reuse plastic bags.
Yeah, no
one ever has saved plastic bags from the grocery store ever.
Clearly don't do that.
It's never happened.
So that's pretty stupid.
Yeah. There you have it, folks. More of the show tomorrow. Have a great night. At DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. In the meantime, I'll be on Fox and Friends tomorrow morning in the 7 a.m. Central hour. Have a great night.